Hey everybody, this is Logan Olson.
This is Ben Geely.
And we have a special guest.
Benji Dolly.
And this is To the Fucking Future.
Yeah!
Woo!
Oh.
Let me cheers Benji as well.
Benji is the first guest to ever actually look disappointed that we left him out of our clink. Everyone else is just like, yeah, whatever, assholes. But he was like, oh.
Nobody else wanted to be in the clink?
I think that I'd like to think you earn the clink, and so you don't get a clink until the end of the podcast when you've proven how futuristic you are.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. You should take mine back then.
No. You. I know you're going to be good, so I thought I'd give you a clink at the head. Head of the podcast.
I'm honored. I'm definitely honored.
So, Benji, what do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living, Logan? I've been working assistant editing for VGHS and Rocket Jump last couple months. And then obviously I jump in front of the camera every now and then, do a little bit of acting with the guys.
Cool. That's awesome. But we're not here to talk about the future of editing today.
No, we aren't.
We're here to talk about the future of pro wrestling.
Dude, but that's what I was told, and I was so excited.
So, Benji, would you consider yourself a pro wrestling expert?
I mean, I don't know. Expert's a tough word. I love it. I definitely can tell you that I love it, and I watch about maybe 6 to 7 hours worth of pro wrestling a week. I mean,
holy shit!
I mean, that's not like a lot compared to somebody who's like a film buff that watches a ton of movies. You know, which is why I mean, but for pro wrestling to watch every Raw every Monday night, especially for
that's a tremendous
man.
Amount of pro wrestling to consume.
Like
in
for
a week.
Somebody to watch a full 3-hour broadcast of Raw on Monday every night, it's like, especially being a 25-year-old grown man, it's like that's a lot. I understand. That's a lot.
And you actually have experienced pro wrestling, right? You've actually been in the ring.
I actually, dude. When I moved out here, it was because I was kicked out of my hometown in a loser leaves town match. In my own town.
What?
I was on a local radio show, and I got in a fight with another DJ who used to be a pro wrestler, and there was a Saturday spot, a slate that opened up on Saturday. We set up a no holds barred match for the winner to get the Saturday DJ spot, and the loser would have to leave town. And I lost, and then the very next day I moved out to L.A., and now I'm with you guys.
What town was this?
South Bend, Indiana. Good old, glorious South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend, for those of you not in the know, is where the University of Notre Dame is.
Oh, yeah. Irish, baby.
So how did actually getting in the ring change your perspective of pro wrestling?
Well, you know how, like, this is really funny. Like, if you like, say you wanted to do something your entire life, and you finally get a chance to do it, you finally do it, and at the same time of getting that moment of like, yes, this is the greatest feeling in the world. At the very same time, you have that thought. You have the same thought of, oh my god, I don't think I could handle this. This is terribly painful, dude. It's the most painful thing I've ever done in my entire life. It hurts. Everything that you do hurts so badly.
Did you do the thing where you cut yourself with the razor blades?
Yeah, but I didn't cut myself. That was my second match, actually. I got cut. They bladed me.
Wait, but you had more than one match?
They brought me back the next year after I got kicked out.
That was like a comeback to town match.
I came back, and now I was back instead of like the intern from the radio station. I came back as Hollywood superstar Benji Dolly, and then they gave me the microphone, and I ripped into my hometown crowd about how like the greatest thing that ever happened to me was moving to a liberal state like California and learning about like the world. And then I was like dogging on like just red state stuff and hating on Notre Dame and just tearing everyone apart. And then that was when the guy bled me, and I got color, as they say. So I got to bleed.
What do you mean you got color? Like, is that like earning your stripes or something?
That's what they like after the show was over. The guy I was wrestling with, Crippler Woody, is real name Woody. He walked up to me and he was like, "Well, you got color tonight. It's official. You're a pro wrestler, Benji." And that was what he said to me. I was like, "What?" It was sweet. Well, I thought it was enough because there was like Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there, so I was hanging. He was in the back. That was sweet.
Is that like a famous old pro wrestler?
Oh yeah, dude. He's the man.
So how much do you know about pro wrestling before? Like, have you been following it for long enough to see it like evolve or change?
Oh yeah, big time. It's changed big time.
So how does it change? Like, just because before we can talk about the future, we need to understand like the trajectory
Absolutely.
Of wrestling. So like, how has it changed between now and like 5-10 years ago?
Oh, okay. Well,
here's the vectors. You tell me if these are like the correct things to judge on. First of all, there's the actual performance, like, of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
The physical.
And between that, there's the narrative, right? There's, like, mm-hmm. the story-based stuff.
Sure.
And then there's the skill-based stuff.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Vernon categorize it. There's also how it's presented on television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Slash, or pay-per-view.
I would go one step further. Oh, I'm sorry. Finish, and then I'll...
I think that's really... that. It's the performance narratively, the performance athletically, and then how it's presented to everybody who's not in the room.
I would also say, though, the actual, you know, I mean, I don't know a lot about pro wrestling. I'll be the first mm-hmm. to admit that. But having watched a decent amount on TV, I would also say there's a huge in-the-stadium bit of theatricalism that goes to it that is like, yeah, it looks neat on TV or whatever, but fireworks when, you know, someone walks down the runway to the ring and, like, them behind, you know, on the screen and their, like, intro music and everything, yeah. like, that's theatricality that's there for the ring, too. And I think there's, like, an interesting thing to explore that, too.
Yeah, there's definitely, if you've ever gone to a show or watched it on TV, if you've seen both, it's definitely a different experience both ways. It's a completely different show when you're there compared to when you're watching it on TV. It's two completely different experiences, just like you said. That makes sense.
So how have those – do you think those are, like, the main vectors to talk about when we're talking about pro wrestling?
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely.
So how have those changed?
Well, I mean, if you're – man, like, in the past 10 years, like, say they always, like, refer to wrestling, like, if you hear guys talk about it and, like, old school guys or if you read, like, what they call it, like, marks is, like, the nickname for, like, people who, like – internet dweebs who, like, love pro wrestling.
They're called marks.
They call them marks.
That's like Johns, but for...
Yeah, that's
but
like the word.
Isn't mark like an old carny word for, like, we're going to go take advantage of that mock?
Yeah, a mark is somebody who's easily gullible.
Nail that rule.
So they call, like, wrestlers... Yeah. So they call, like, wrestlers who read that stuff, like, marks. So, like, it's like I would be considered, like, a mark if you were to, like, call that stuff or whatever. But, like 15, 20 years ago is what they would call, like, the Federation years. And that was when, like, Hulk Hogan and Macho Man were, like, running stuff. Ric Flair was coming up from, like, the AWA. That was when, like, Vince McMahon Jr. took over and made it, like, a national brand. And that was when it was, like, you had the goofy, like, cartoon character guys like Kamala and, you know, obviously the Hulkster, Macho, like, Rick Rude, all those guys. And then after that, that was when it changed to the Attitude Era is what they call it, which is when the Monday Night Wars happened, when WCW came into effect, when Ted Turner – from TNT, bought World Championship Wrestling down in Georgia, and then he wanted to throw his hat in the ring, and they were, like, competitive for a while, and that was when it was all about TV ratings. So obviously, like, that was at the time when, like, everybody started realizing even more so, like, sex sells and like, if it bleeds, it leads, like, that kind of stuff, and they would more so present it as a way more, like, raunchy, realistic, like, Jerry Springer-esque type show. And that's, like, more of our stuff, like, our age growing up. Like, that was what we saw all the time.
Right.
And that was sweet. And, like, now is what they call, like, the PG era, because now WWE is no longer a wrestling company. It's an entertainment company, and they cater to a family audience. So they call it, like, the PG era because, like, John Cena is, like, who you know is, like, the number one Make-A-Wish guy of all time now is because...
That's awesome.
Like, that is amazing to think about.
Yeah, like, now, like, they used to, like, when it came to storylines, they used to be driven by, like, the actual wrestlers and how they wanted to sell tickets and that kind of stuff. And now, since it's a global entertainment company, the storylines are secondary to what their actual, like, business plans are in the coming months. Like, recently they had a new pro wrestling champion, their heavyweight champ was Alberto Del Rio. They put the strap on him because of Cain Velasquez of the UFC had a crazy big number for his pay-per-view when he won the heavyweight title for the UFC. So they decided to change storylines around to try and, like, cater to, like, market trends and, like, to gain more numbers. So, like, now it's way more of, like, a business rather than it is, like, a wrestling company, whereas it used to be in terms of presentation and how, like, stories are built and written.
So where do you think that's going to – where is that going to take us, like, in – first of all, is pro wrestling pretty much – WWE now? Is there any other people, like, throwing their hats in the ring?
I mean, like, in terms of like, popularity and, like, a company that can travel weekly and do shows, like, 4 or 5 times a week, you know, that's WWE's it, unless you're, like, overseas in, like, Japan, like, New Japan. There's a couple organizations, but there's also independent companies in the U.S., not as many as there used to be, but there's a bunch who, like, they pride themselves more on, like, the actual in-ring product, which is, like, one of the most famous leagues is called Ring of Honor, and that's where, like, a lot of the most recent, like, up-and-coming stars in the WWE have all came from. They came from this company called Ring of Honor because they're all, like, the best of the best of, like, the actual in-ring performers.
As opposed to, what else is important outside of being in the ring?
Well, it's obviously being on a microphone and being in front of a camera, because these guys now, since also they're an entertainment company, they also want to breed these guys to be part of their, like, films division. And they have, like, they've got on, like, their fourth Marine movie now with, like, The Miz. Or no, it's their third one with starring The Miz. And, like, they just pump out movies and movies. So it's almost like now instead of breeding more wrestlers, they want to breed like actual like entertainers, and that's why they call them like superstars now instead of wrestlers.
So like the whole prototype model for all of this is obviously The Rock.
Yeah.
I mean, like The Rock is like the text of like, we're going to take a guy, we're going to make him super friendly. He can be scary and intimidating, but also kids love him and moms think he's kind of cute. And purely from a marketing perspective, The Rock, a perfect like hard to pin his race unless you actually do a little bit of research. Totally appealingly kind of multiracial across a million different like levels.
And he turns out to just be Czech, right?
Yeah, he is actually just Czech. 100% born and bred. His full name is, I believe
it's just a collection of consonants.
Yeah, I think it's like Lubchek Mekin.
Yeah, but at least he's not Chechnyan, am I right?
Yeah,
cool. Topical.
There's a difference between Chechnyan. That was a big deal.
We're just kidding, everybody. The Rock's Maori, I believe. I believe he's Pacific Islander.
So do you think there'll ever be a time where, first of all, do you think pro wrestling is going to exist forever?
I mean, if it should have gone out by now, don't you think?
But like in 100 years, do you think it would have ran its course?
I mean, the gig is up, right? The gig has been up for a while. Wouldn't it have ended by now?
By the same token, in the 50s, boxing was, you know, for 50, 60 years, boxing was the biggest pugilistic sport in the world. Yeah. And long before UFC came along and ate its lunch and long before anything else, you know, boxing declined massively. Horse racing used to be a unbelievably huge sport in the United States. You know, we're talking hundreds of thousands of people. Like, all you got to do is go down to, help me out here. What's the name of the big horse race?
Hollywood?
Santa Anita. No, not Hollywood Park. Santa Anita. You go out to Santa Anita, and you look at those grandstands, and those were built, what, I think in the 40s or 30s?
It's got like an Art Deco style to it.
Yeah, it's like, and you look at it, and you just realize how many people it sat, and they're like, wow, somebody built this and thought, this is popular enough that I need to build a grandstand big enough that, you know, 80,000 people can sit here and watch that.
But here's the difference. Each of those is a sport, whereas WWE isn't a sport per se.
I would pay to see horses fight each other.
That's true. I would too.
Well, I mean, but if you think about boxing, like the reason boxing crumbled was because there were fighters that wouldn't fight each other due to promoters getting in the way and people taking advantage of them. So the fights that everybody wanted to see weren't happening. And your audience got so pissed off because you weren't giving them what they wanted, which is why the UFC business model works so well, because Dana White makes it like a point to, no matter what, give people the fights they want to see. Like, you always hear like fighters who train with each other talk about how they'll never fight each other if they're in a title fight. And he's always like, bullshit. He's like, no. He's like, you'll fight. That's what you're paid to do. And if you're not, I'll fire you. That's how it works. That's what we do.
That is an excellent
point. Like, whereas like professional wrestling, the matches people want to see, which are like some of the biggest matches people wanted to see for a while, like they actually did it last year, and this year was they finally had The Rock come back and wrestle John Cena. Like, people wanted to see that match for a while because like it got out where John Cena was like, he said a couple things about The Rock. So like marks and people on the internet would talk about it and constantly talked about how there was like this huge fight between John Cena and The Rock. So they brought back The Rock, and then their like storyline was they kind of blurred it to make sure nobody really knew what was storyline and what was like scripted and real on the show. So it made people think they actually had like a real animosity between each other.
That is pretty goddamn brilliant.
And it was like their highest grossing WrestleMania they've ever had. So they've done a good job in the last couple of years. Like, every once in a while, Vince McMahon's really smart. They just do something to reinvent, just do one really big thing. And they just like turn everything upside down. And I like their biggest push. Like, I hate it though, but it's like their social media thing. Like, their show now is just all just integrated with like Facebook and Twitter and like this tout thing where it's like tweeting but with videos instead. It's just like a 30-second video.
What is this? Wait, it's called tout?
It's called tout. It's tweeting but it's with videos. And
so
they
it's
have
Vine.
Like,
but it sounds like it's longer than Vine.
Yeah, it's longer than Vine, but it's for like fans only of like the show to like send in stuff about the matches and like ask for matches. And now they like give you matches that people will like ask for, and they try and make it seem like you're part of the show. Which, like, I think it's annoying, but, like, it's, like, one of the things they're doing to, like, kind of
stay ahead of the times.
Keep the kids involved.
Mm-hmm.
So where do you think it's going to go? Like, 20 years from now, what will WWE look like?
Man, I hope it looks like it.
I hope it looks like it used to look like.
I think that's an interesting way to look at it, because there's two routes to go, and you see this in a lot of sports and a lot of, like, popular culture, as you see the, you know, the business-minded, you know, point going like, hey, you know what? You're 30 years old. Frankly, you already aged out of my biggest money-making demographic. I don't give a shit what you think. I'm going for the 13-year-old. And so they keep going down the tout line, or, you know, the kind of brilliant marketing stuff they do now. But there are inevitably people that are like, there is a huge market. It's not as big as the 13-year-old market, but there is a huge market for guys that want to see the old-school stuff. and what that, you know, what that can affect. It's basically like punk music, like back in like the late 70s. It's like, we're going to get back down to our roots. We're going to strip this down. We're going to get rowdy and we're going to get crazy. And then it gets co-opted and the whole big crazy cycle starts all over again. But you sound like, Benji, you want to see the old school.
Which they've kind of catered to that more so now with like Blu-rays and special features and such like that, where they've finally, I mean, they used to put out DVDs, but there was never anything like behind the scenes or since the cat was never out of the bag. Like, they would never actually go through the building of a match and like how guys would go over making their match and setting up their storylines. Whereas now they'll do that. Wow. Like they have DVD sets and like Blu-rays that they come out with, and they have these things they call like the Legends Roundtable Discussions, where you can like sit down and watch like Dusty Rhodes and like old school guys like Mean Gene like sit around at a table and talk about building storylines and how they came up with gimmicks and like how each match was built and things like that. So they kind of cater to that, but not as much like as the – it's just – rehashing the old stuff.
So I have a little off topic, but I'm super intrigued. So, you know, as you say, the cat's out of the bag. Everybody knows that it's built, it's staged. But as someone who grew up probably in a time period before the cat was totally out of the bag, and now have seen that all go down and see the evolution and watch these things, how much of the Hollywood, like, celebrity, quote-unquote, storylines that we see out there, oh, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and everything, in your professional opinion, having watched an entire culture come from in the bag to out of the bag, how much of that shit do you think is all totally staged?
Oh, you're talking, like, tabloid stuff?
Yeah.
Like Kardashian stuff?
Yeah.
I think that's all staged.
And
I think it's the same thing, but without the matches.
Yeah, you think, like, Tom Cruise and, like, Katie Holmes, that whole thing, day one.
Well, I mean, like, sex tapes. Sex tapes are, like, one of the fakest things of all time. Like, I can't believe it's just clear as day. Like,
I'm fairly certain in the United States to legally have someone distribute a video of you having sex, you have to specifically sign a piece of paperwork that confirms that you are 18 years of age, period. So if there's a sex tape out there anywhere that is being sold by someone for money, basically anyone in that tape signed paperwork that confirms their date of birth. And it's like, yep, I'm 18. You can sell this tape of me fucking.
I believe it. Sounds about right.
So, Benji, how do you feel about Ready to Rumble, the movie?
Dude, Ready to Rumble, the movie. Okay, not a great movie. A lot of people hate on it. Obviously, it was WCW, which at the time was like right when it was falling.
Help us out here. I don't know Ready to Rumble. Just in case there are other listeners that don't know Ready to Rumble, but I'm curious.
All right, if you haven't seen Ready to Rumble, do yourself a favor. Watch Ready to Rumble. It's ridiculous. David Arquette, Scott Kahn are yeah, dude, right?
I'm totally sold on this. Oh my god. Right,
what a team. They are waste management specialists.
Oh god.
they're dudes who take the turds out of porta potties. That's their job.
Oh, shit.
And they're obsessed with WCW Monday Nitro. And the movie starts with like their Monday morning of work where they have tickets for that night's Nitro. And like as they're about to leave for Nitro, you find out that David Arquette's dad's like a state trooper, and he's an asshole. He wants his kid to be a trooper. And Scott Kahn, you don't ever know anything about his family. He's just like a learner. You know, these kids end up going on an odyssey because their favorite wrestler of all time gets screwed over that night and like gets the title taken away from him. And it's like actually real instead of fake storyline. So they think like they go to like save his life. They find him in his trailer and they like try to get him back on his feet and they like pump him back up and they train him. And then they break into a show and they set him up another like cage match of death for like 3 months later. And then they get themselves into like the pay-per-view and they like wrestle too. So it's like, it's kind of like, what's that movie, Fanboys? It's like that. It's like
I've never seen
but
Fanboys,
for wrestling.
But it seems like a very like masturbatory fantasy.
Yeah, it's like wheels within wheels on that kind of shit.
Yeah, like at the end of the movie, like Goldberg asks them if they need like tag team partners. They're like, hey.
So really, this is the end of Bill and Ted's like bogus journey where it's like, so anyway, then we played a Kiss song and then we were the most famous people ever forever.
It kind of reminds me, did you guys ever see Sidekick?
Dude, love that movie.
No.
Sidekick?
Yeah, Chuck Norris.
With the kid from Sequest who was like, didn't he hang himself?
Yeah, killed himself.
Oh my god, the kid from Sequest killed himself?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
For all our younger viewers out there, Sequest was a utopian
DSV.
Sorry, Sequest DSV. I believe it was Star Trek on a submarine, right?
Pretty much. But to be really, really specific and really show my nerdy stripes, it was Star Trek Voyager on a submarine.
If we go on.
Well, let's put it this way. Everyone was everybody was a little too friendly. Everyone was a little too clean cut. Whatever they were going for, they weren't quite hitting it. Okay. And there was a needless, like, weird character, the dolphin. And in Voyager, most of the characters. And, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that metaphor. I was hoping no one would question it and everyone would just – it was sorry. A laugh line.
I'm an inquisitive person.
Way
but,
to sell me the fuck out.
But anyways, yeah, no, the kid from Sequest killed himself totally.
Yeah.
Asphyxiation of some
that's
sort.
That's fucked.
It's terrible because Sidekick, what a movie.
Yeah, Sidekick is about the kid from Sequest not playing himself as the kid from Sequest.
He has a different name. I think it's Barry.
Yes, sure.
No, it isn't.
But he has asthma, right? He has asthma, but he wants nothing more than to be Chuck Norris's sidekick in all his kung fu movies or karate movies. And it just is like basically this kid with asthma fantasizing about how awesome he'd kick ass with Chuck Norris. It's like a lot of him like being like, I could kick your ass without asthma, and then like dry heaving as bullies beat on him.
Oh, that's just depressing.
Yeah,
that's not funny at all.
It's kind of a downer for the most part outside of the fantasy scenes. But here, hey guys, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, dude.
The end of this
you
movie.
You haven't guessed already.
Well, what's just so amazing here is, so, like, the whole thing is, like, he has, like, it's like a karate catalog or, like, a black belt magazine, which was, like, a thing in the 90s. It's still around if you're really into, like.
Kind of like an East Bay magazine.
East Bay?
What in the hell is that?
You never saw you guys never saw an East Bay magazine?
What's an East Bay?
East Bay, maybe that was a Midwest thing.
Is that like L.L. Bean?
Which is confusing East Bay, to me because I don't know of many bays.
East
in
Bay
the
was a, it was just a sporting good magazine. It got sent to your house, like, twice a month, and all it was just every single sport, like, every kind of, like, sport gear you would need for it.
Okay. I could think of equivalents from my childhood in the North.
It's very Midwestern.
Yeah, must have been a Midwest thing.
But anyways, yeah, he has his black belt that he like always keeps with him, like next to his inhaler. And after he kicks butt at the karate tournament, he like throws it on the ground because he's like, I don't need this anymore. I just kick some ass.
So karate cured his asthma?
Well, he puts the black belt magazine down and he like, you know, walks off triumphantly. Frame is empty. Boy in wheelchair rolls on, picks up magazine. I just got chills. The whole audience gets chills. Cut to credits.
Oh, damn. Is that magazine going to kill that little cure that little crippled boy's paralysis?
Dude, that kid picks it up. And he's so pumped. Oh, my gosh.
I really wish they made the sequel with Chuck Norris hanging out with a wheelchair kid.
Dude, that would have been amazing. Because Chuck, I mean...
Because Chuck, man.
Because Chuck.
Because
Chuck. Full stop.
Dude, and Joe Piscopo. Oh, man. Joe Piscopo in that movie is just insane.
Is that the bad guy from Home Alone?
Yeah, no. No, that's Joe Pesci.
That's Joe Pesci and Daniel
Joe
Stern.
Joe Piscopo's like the Cobra Kai teacher.
That's Joe Piscopo?
In Sidekicks it is.
Oh, okay.
Not in the Karate Kid.
So let's hop in the way back machine back to pro wrestling again. Woo, woo.
Yeah.
So you said it, you hope it's going to be more like the old ones, but do you think that's realistic?
Well, I only think so because I mean, not realistic, but I only would like it. I only would like it because
I dream about it.
Because it's always seemed like the at least in my eyes. But if you look at it over time, the product is always better when it's just focused on the actual matches. Like if they and then everything that comes off of that is the success that is bred from just like having good matches. Because everybody goes there. We all know it's staged, so we want to suspend our disbelief. We don't. I mean, we know. Somebody's predetermined to win, but we still ooh and ah when there's like a near fall, you know, or like there's a close submission or something. Like we still get into it. So like when you focus on that aspect and get the crowd into it, like when there's shows when like there's really, really good matches, which doesn't happen as often as it used to, when like guys really bring it, like those are the shows where there's the most energy and the crowd gets into way more of the promo and the other stuff that goes along with it because the matches just get everybody so hyped up because that's what gets everybody going when you're inside the arena.
So that's what you hope for. What do you think really will happen?
Well, they're a public entertainment company now. They're going to – it's whatever – makes whatever's the most sound business decision and has the best like image is what's
do you think
what's
they'll do you think they'll still have wrestling matches in 30 years?
They'll still have matches. Like one of the things that just started happening was they have a new show they started on Wednesdays where now they don't even show strikes to the head like in their matches. So there's pro wrestling matches now on these shows where no one gets dropped on their head or no one gets like punched or kicked in the head.
So it's like it's almost like the Disney DX like you're like
yeah,
the, like dude. It's like
the
like the
for the 13 and
yeah
under.
So it's like they're gonna they'll have matches and stuff but they'll I mean eventually they'll either it'll get to that point or it's already started to where it's just kind of like how the NFL you got to do stuff you can't have a product that shows guys going out and actually like hurting each other really badly like constantly
so
they got to dumb it down a bit.
So to call back to our previous episode, which no one has heard yet, we talked a lot about body modification. And we talked, namely, as we really got exotic about splicing genes and turning people into freakish manimals.
Yes.
So one of the things we talked a lot about was, I believe, a jackal-headed man. Man with a jackal head. I'm curious if you see a future in this, like, sanitized PG wrestling world where hideous half-human mutants could participate.
Dude, yeah. I mean, because whatever you can see in society, whatever's like the most ridiculous thing you can see in society, you'll see in pro wrestling. It's just characters of what you actually see. Like, they have a guy now, the bad guy for the Mexican champ I was talking about earlier. The guy is a Tea Party activist. That's like the character.
That's amazing.
What does that entail?
Dude, his name is the Real American, Jack Swagger, and he has a manager come out with him whose name is Zeb Coulter, playing on Ann Coulter. And the guy comes out and talks about how they need to take America back, starting with the fake champion of the world, and send him back across the border because they're stealing jobs.
Wow!
They're like they've even stolen the title too. Like, that's like, so anything you can possibly imagine in real life can happen in pro wrestling.
Pro wrestling is now the bastion of top political satire in this country.
Yeah, dude. And then he's the bad guy. And that's, and like, the Bible Belt is where most of the pro wrestling fans come from. And the bad guy is the Tea Party activist.
I think that's stunning.
That is. That's amazing.
Do you ever think they'll go past? Like, so that's interesting. Like, that WWE is like this mirror on our, like, actual reality. Do you ever think they'll go past that? Like, pre us having jackal head gene splicing, do you ever see us having, like, more or less Mighty Morphin Power Rangers villains as bad guys where it's like, oh no, here comes,
Rita,
you know,
Repulsa,
like tentacle nipples, or what was your guy?
Rita Repulsa?
Rita Repulsa.
You remember, oh, man, make my monsters grow. Rangers.
Make my monsters grow.
Yeah, dude, I could totally see that. I mean, we're already having, like, real bionic, like, humans, and we're building people and I can't even explain the things
so
that are happening.
Who do you think?
Like, why not have that? Could be an easy storyline 20 years from now. Some guy got out of the friggin' lab and he ended up with a contract. They always do stuff like that.
I love that.
They had a guy 15 years ago who was an escaped convict. His name was Nails. Somehow he got out of jail. He's still wearing his jumpsuit, but he's got a contract to wrestle matches.
On national television.
Yeah, he always had matches with the big boss man, the jailman.
Let's jump to the year 2050, if you will.
Yeah.
Design your WWE superstar of the year 2050.
Dude, if they reanimated The Rock. Reanimated Rock.
So like a fully cyborg Rock.
Yep, cyborg Rock.
So like Dwayne Johnson, but like with tinfoil all over him.
Yeah, they're like I would watch there that. Was like a, and like his manager would be the mad scientist who like created him. And that would, and like he, and that's how it, he would like fight people, was he would have
who would
his
be the bad guy? Who would be the main bad guy?
He would be. The cyborg Rock would have, because he's not natural. He would have to be the bad guy. You'd have to have like a true, just standard American guy that just like willed his way to victory over this like mutant beast.
Would you bring back like the 80-year-old Rock to defeat cyborg Rock? Would that be the
like
only
Demolition
way?
Man?
Yeah, like Demolition Man. So, like the Rock has been a suspended animation since he accidentally.
If that were the case, we would dig up Stone Cold. Like that, we would get real Stone Cold out of there. That's the only way you can stop him.
So Ben, who's your pro wrestler of the year 2050?
Pro wrestler of the year 2050? Yeah. I will offer this as a before I answer this question caveat. I know very little about pro wrestling.
Okay.
Almost nothing. But I would say that my pro wrestler of 2050 would be... Oh, well, you already said robot. I can't really go there. That just feels unfair. Okay. I got... Oh. Hold on. Got it. 100%.
Do you want to give a pause so that we can cut out that giant lull?
I kind of don't. I don't know. Here, I'll give you a pause just in case. But if it works for dramatic effect, do whatever you want with it, Alex. But, okay, an alien species from beyond the stars has come to our planet, and they only know us from transmissions from 40 years earlier due to relativistic speeds of light, and they chose the form that terrifies America the most, Kim Jong-un. And we have a pro wrestler alien who has taken the form of Kim Jong-un on a giant, ultra-powerful, six-armed mutant body.
All right. Something like that. Or maybe they just like my. Maybe they just like.
I think they liked your dead band. Like, holy shit! I'm stuck in a sound booth with this guy. Reaction. He could block the exit right now if he wanted to.
So, like, what will special effects in the ring look like? And, like, do you think we'll be the same thing, or do you think we'll start employing more wire foo? Or more laser beams?
Ooh. They'll never do wire foo. They'll never have to do that. I mean, lasers, I'm sure lasers have to come into effect.
Like coming out of the guy's mouth, though, like Dragon Ball Z style? Like,
no.
I don't think anything like that will ever happen.
Because it's always like a strip down. Because always the main thing that happens is it's like the bare bones of like, it's male soap opera where every conflict gets solved with just a fight.
But Benji, how would you react if in the next WrestleMania... Like, you know, it's not looking good for John Cena. And then he just goes, Kamehameha. Like, he literally just...
I would shit my pants. Who wouldn't?
he's like, and then he, like, literally is just flexing out and shoots a laser beam out of his mouth.
I mean, that would be the most... That'd be the greatest thing never happened.
Would you feel betrayed, or would you be like, that felt right? That felt so good.
That would feel right, because that would be the greatest thing to ever happen.
I agree.
That would be incredible.
Do you think they'd ever be able to top it?
No, that's why it would be so special. I mean, it would be great and sad at the same time.
Logan, how you top that is that John Cena goes Super Cena. It's pretty fucking straightforward. He defeats whoever he's fighting, and then the next one, you've got another wrestler who's even more powerful than Cena, and then Cena goes Super Cena, and then all of his hair spikes up and turns blonde and
shit. I like
the
idea of...
And you've not watched pro wrestling?
No.
You know
no.
the Super Cena stuff?
Well, I mean, I know Super Saiyans from, like, you know, Kamehameha.
Well, like, pretty much just, like, that's, like, every, like, main, like, wrestling fan's gripe is you just explain, like, John Cena's entire career. Like,
wait, seriously?
Yeah. They refer to him as Super Cena. He just wins constantly, and then every time he wins, they just bring in another guy who they act like is a bigger version of the last guy, and then Cena just wins again and, like, overcomes the odds. He's, like, the guy who goes against bullying. Like, that's his thing, and you just totally blasted it.
But I like the idea of this slowly turning to Shadow of Colossus, where we slowly morph away from humans as bad guys to giant inflatable puppets.
Yeah.
So monolithic.
I definitely think it could get to the point, or it would be to the point where there are, like, we're actually, like, the storylines are us battling against, like, machines we've created.
Giant Kim Jong-uns
yes.
from well, beyond
I
just, the stars.
I think we could definitely do, like, especially if, like, say a bad guy. Like, who do you say that was the Tea Party guy? I assume he's really buff.
Jack Swagger.
Yeah. Jack Swagger, like, he flexes and he starts swelling. You're like, what's going on? And then his skin starts tearing apart as it just slowly turns into a giant carnivorous plant.
I mean, if they figure out a way to do that, that'd be pretty intense. I'd be cool with that.
I feel like we need to start. So here's what I think the issue is. It's all about one-upsmanship, but our one-upsman is going to be limited by biological capabilities of a human. So it's just about powering through those.
I want to change my answer to your question earlier.
Okay.
Rather than alien Kim Jong-un's, which, let's be real, that was me copping out pretty lamely.
Yeah, you looked like you were having some trouble.
Yeah, I figured it out now. Okay. My heroic super wrestler from 2050 is a robot who was programmed by a mad scientist to be the ultimate pro wrestler. But the robot didn't know he was a robot. And after he won the title and he's the villain and everyone hates him, he discovers that he is actually a robot and he has to grapple with this terrifying fact. And in his desire to understand what it means to be more human, he gives up the belt and has all of his powers reset to normal human level. So he is no longer a super robot. He's just a man made of metal. And he just wants to know what it's like to be human. And he then has to get the belt back from a super evil robot that was made by his old creator who disowned him because he wouldn't be an evil robot anymore. And then he redeems himself by teaming up with John Cena's son, who is human. And then robots and humans in 2050 have awesome role models to root for that win. And part of this is like, oh, humans are still useful. And the other part is like, by the way, robots, don't wipe us all out. We're like best buds. Look, we have a robot champion. So it'll be like half Jackie Robinson and like half Terminator 2 when Arnold falls down into the lava and gives the thumbs up.
So Benji, how do you feel about that as a pro wrestling fan?
Incredible. I mean, that's a deep story. That's a deep storyline.
Yeah, how does it compare to the other storylines in WWE?
I mean, I think that's well more thought out. I think he put a lot more into it.
Yeah.
How do I get a job with these people? I feel like I could be of use to them.
I think Benji, you've tried, right?
Oh, I've tried. I send them constantly.
Like just videos of you flexing.
No, I don't send them videos. No, I send them resumes.
I like the idea of
you like me in online dating.
It's just one of those things. It's like, I'll send them something enough. One of these days, they'll just like get annoyed and be like, who is this cat?
I like the idea of you sending them DV tapes of you just being like, my name's Benji and I'm strong. And then you're just like lifting jugs of milk.
I should do that instead. That's a great idea.
So I got my idea for my enemy of 2050. Do you guys know what a Kuka arm is?
No.
A K-U-K-A arm?
No.
The giant robots that lift up car parts?
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Just one of those.
That's so fucking demented. I love that. But yes. Because a Kuka arm in 2050 would be 40 years out of date, the personality behind the Kuka arm is the grizzled old Kuka arm that no longer is at the top of his game.
I like the idea of them bringing it in like in a cage like King Kong, and they pull off the curtain. Yeah. Or no, let's call back Jurassic Park classic in 2050 where there's a goat on stage.
And the lights go down, and then there's just like a bloody smear with the goat collar.
Oh. And then it's just like, limb by limb. You can't see me, but I'm doing a Kuka arm with my arm.
It's good.
Yeah. And then it grabs whatever the closest, what are they called, the wrestlers that are like no good that you just want to?
Oh, jobbers.
Jobbers? It just grabs a jobber and throws them into the upper rows because life will be cheap in 2050.
Yes. Obviously.
Oh, I love that. That's the best villain.
Yeah.
That is great. He's cold, unfeeling.
I mean, have you heard of the movie Arena?
No.
I mean, like, it's kind of what we're talking about. Like, it was like a direct-to-video, like, when we were like kids, but it's like an international like fighting league that's like an intergalactic fighting league.
So
like this human is fighting against aliens and like UFC fights.
This is like what, 1994?
Yeah.
In?
Oh yeah. It's like early 90s and it's they have like, I can't remember all of it, but I know there's lasers and stuff in the fights. So I know it's definitely along the lines of what we're talking about.
So guys, I think we need, sorry, Ben, go.
I would just go so far as to say, I think your evil Kuka arm is the obvious foil to my robot wrestler heart of gold who discovers he's a robot. I'm just saying that the storyline makes perfect sense.
I'd like to think we're going to get to a point where we can make animals hyper-intelligent. So it's actually Kuka arm versus a small wiener dog. And the wiener dog as pro wrestler.
Is the wiener dog also, I mean, obviously it's hyper-intelligent, but does it also have like hyper strength for its tiny wiener
it's
body.
It's going to need something or else it's still in a damn.
But it's pro wrestling, so we'll fake it. So like it'll like pin the Kuka arm and you're like, no! It's like near fall. Wiener dog almost pins giant robot arm. Guys, I think we should just start our own wrestling league. I think we got something.
I think definitely. That we could outpace everybody because the idea is going around this room right now out of control.
Really ahead of their time.
Way ahead of their time.
I think they're incredible.
So let's flash forward to the year 4,000.
Oh, 4,000. Oh, man.
Just for a point of reference. 2,000 years from now, bear in mind, 2,000 years ago, the Roman Empire had not yet been founded. So everyone just take a deep breath.
Jesus.
On that.
Jesus was 2,000 years
ago. Jesus, Jesus was a teenager 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, we're definitely giving pro wrestling a lot of credit for jumping 2,000
years. So, what is the equivalent? Well, let's go with what's the equivalent of pro wrestling in the year 4,000?
I don't know. I got a feeling like 2,000 years from now, everything that's going on now isn't going to be going on then. So
we'll still have humans. There's gladiators. In the year zero.
Yeah, it'll just be back to like real fighting again.
You think?
Yeah.
I think it depends on the planet you're on. If you're on Earth, you're probably doing some sort of weird neuropeptide virtual reality thing. If you're on, you know, Tau Ceti 4, which in my imagination operates at roughly the technological level of the late Roman Empire, then yeah, it's gladiator battles. That's how space travel works, right? You colonize and then they have to catch up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Every colony will be primitive.
They start from scratch.
Yes, that's the only way it works. So we've been talking a lot about what happens in the ring in real life. What about television? Do you think what's the television spectrum of WWE right now?
Well, I mean, they're all over. I mean, they have like five different shows a week.
Which is nuts.
Yeah, they have 3 hours on Monday, 2 hours on Friday, an hour on Wednesday, an hour on Saturday.
So why do they need that much?
I don't think they need that much. I think it's too much.
And as a point of reference, is all these shows are fights or some of it analysis or
it's always based around the fights.
Okay, so there's a fight in every show.
Yeah. Yep.
So and this is year round.
Yep.
So year quite round. Literally, this is way more shows with way more product of like actual product than any sports league.
Then and
baseball,
not even sports,
basketball,
just television,
NFL. NBA.
Like they've done well over a thousand episodes of Raw. That's a 2-hour show, which is now it's a 3-hour show. That's every Monday. They do 2 more hours of program, and they've done that for over 20 years now.
Jesus,
it's pretty impressive.
Well, like they've done more than like Law and Order, all the Law and Orders like combined.
So are they going to keep that up?
You wonder how. You know, that's just so much content to produce every single week.
Well, I mean, to be fair, most television channels produce 24/7 hours of content. Yeah. So it's really, I mean, it's not like there's one guy who's just fucking writing like, shit.
Well,
okay.
I mean, that's the thing.
So, week 89 million.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. They tried to launch their own network, but they had to push it back. They've now pushed it back for 2 years, and they still don't know when they're going to launch it. I mean, it's because they probably just don't have enough, I mean,
well, yeah, content. What do you do 24? Outside of wrestling on that? What would be your shows outside of wrestling on the WWE Network?
I mean, what can you do? That's what it's supposed to be, though.
Cooking.
Right?
Gardening
with the Rock. Cooking with John Cena.
Gardening with the Rock. Cooking. Smelling, or would you cook with the Rock? You would smell what the Rock is cooking.
That's what I'm saying.
That would begin with that. He's like, do you smell? And then this delightful sort of middle-aged woman, kind of Martha Stewart-ish, would go, yeah, I do. And it smells delicious, Rock.
Or alternately, if we eat like a Julia Child-esque person, so the Rock would be like, can you smell what I'm going to... Oh, that's the Rock. This is absolutely delightful.
Just like a 60-year-old woman. Yes. I learned how to use tarragon this week, by the way.
I don't know how.
It's an herb, so you just put it on things.
What's it taste like?
Put on anything?
And don't say tarragon.
Tarragon.
As opposed to anything?
Tarragon?
If you just get me comparative. We'll talk about this later.
I don't know. I learned how to make a fish pouch. It's where you put a fish in a pouch and steam it, like on your grill.
Or in a pan. Oh, fascinating. Thanks.
Yeah, no, I
mean, that's fancy.
I took a cod and I put it on a bed of lemons with some tarragon, put some tarragon on top with some more lemons.
Nice.
Steam it 15-20 minutes. Put it like on a pan.
Sounds healthy.
Yeah, you take it out. You got a nice steamed cod. I made some sauteed mushrooms with Israeli couscous.
You're doing this with all this with the lady out of town.
Yeah, no, she's back now.
Oh, she's back. Okay.
Oh, nice.
I wasn't sure.
Good move.
Yeah, no, it's fresh.
I was going to say, if you were doing this just like totally unbound.
I mean, I'm not a fish guy, but that sounds fantastic.
And you know, I also learned how to make a tomato salad. It's just some heirloom tomatoes straight from the farmer's market with salt and a little bit of oil.
Use one of those nice hand-pressed virgin olive oils.
Absolutely. I believe this was actually a flavored olive oil of sorts.
Right. It's like Tibetan sea salt. Give it a little pep.
Yeah, I know. I was working with Bay, who was here a few weeks ago.
Oh, sure.
He's
a
wonderful
connoisseur.
Cook. Yeah, and lovely guy. He's walking me through how to make. Next week, we're going to work on salads.
Coming up next on NPR, we're going to be doing an interview with another soft-talking human being.
No, he's actually working on some shaved lentil salads right now.
Can you imagine how difficult it would be to shave a lentil? They're the size of a pencil eraser. How do you shave one?
But truth be told, guys, what I'm really curious about is how I can get some fruits and candied nuts into my salads, like specifically a spinach and strawberry, which is nice summer.
You just drop them in.
Yeah, you put them in there. Some walnuts are a good combination with dried strawberries or fresh.
And I'm just scared of using a pre-made raspberry vinaigrette. I'd like to.
No, you make your own. You got to every time.
Benji, you've never had a salad?
Never had a salad.
Have you eaten a vegetable before?
I've had a vegetable.
How did that go?
Good. I've had a lot more vegetables lately than the last time I've seen you, Logan.
What happened?
I've tried a lot of stuff.
What happened?
Oh, I got a girlfriend. She forces me to eat stuff.
That'll happen.
Yeah. Yep. So I've eaten way more than I've ever had.
It should be known, Benji, I took him to a wonderful restaurant once and he ate nothing when I took him because Benji don't eat shit.
Yeah. There are times, you know, if there's no kids menu, then which there usually always is, but Logan being
what about like a
fancy
macaroni salad or like a potato salad?
Oh, no.
It's mainly just chicken tenders and burgers.
Yeah. It used to be no burgers.
Why not?
I don't eat burgers.
What's wrong with
the burger? Like mixing the bread with the patty.
I don't like
what
meat.
What the shit?
I don't like meat. Yeah.
Wait, hold on.
But I don't like vegetables either, so it's not like I'm
what
a
do you eat? Just bread?
Well, I used to eat like chicken fingers and like breakfast food.
So you don't like beef, but you like chicken?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what this sounds like? You know, your dietary habits kind of sound like this the dietary habits of an autistic kid that I was reading about.
Could be.
I'm surprised you didn't get scurvy.
He says cheerfully.
I'm sure I have. Because I had 25 years of just nothing but straight like mac and cheese and chicken strips. So I'm sure I've got like some huge
problems. Did you have like a multivitamin or something?
Point.
Did you like have like a Flintstones tablet or something?
I mean, I did.
I had some friends that got scurvy in college.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I never got the scurvy.
College for you.
Well, they pretty much lived off psilocybin mushrooms, ramen, and 40s of Old English. And they thought they had mono. And because they were tired, and they went to the doctor, and he was like, yeah, you don't have mono. What do you eat? And they were two-thirds honest with him. And he was like, yeah, you need to eat some fruits and vegetables. You have a massive vitamin C deficiency. You effectively have scurvy. And they're like, oh, okay. So we just, like, took a multivitamin. That would solve it, right? And he's like, well, yeah, but you really should just eat some fruits and vegetables. And like, check, multivitamin. Got it. And then
right.
One of them later, another guy got gout, and someone else I know got
going hard.
Going hard. We like to call it the house of 19th century illnesses.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what anything you describe as could be going hard.
No, it's going stupid. Yes. That's what it is.
So we've been talking about pro wrestling, yeah. Television specifically,
yeah,
or Holovision in the future. Do you ever think we'll do wrestling on like a small holographic table, kind of like the battle chest in Star Wars?
Oh, I hope so. That'd be sweet.
Do you ever have wrestling toys growing up?
Oh, yeah. I had all of them.
Yeah?
What about, we were talking a little bit about plugging into nervous systems on our VR episode. Virtual VR episode sounded weird. Virtual reality episode. Yeah. Do you think that there would be a market for, you know, you said it was one of the most painful things you'd ever done. Do you think there would be a market for a period in time where you could have, you know, you got your wrestlers fighting, and then for extra pay-per-view, you could plug in the nervous system feeds from your wrestlers so that as you sat there in your living room, you could experience the actual adrenaline rush, the strength, the pain, the fury, the agony, the ecstasy of a wrestler. Do you think that would be a popular product? You know, like for an extra $40, you too can get the Senso cast from the actual match in Madison Square Garden.
I mean, I think that would be for everything in the world, that would be... A product. Everyone would love the chance to experience something else.
Do you think you'd ever be able to buy your own wrestlers to wrestle?
That's called slavery, Logan.
Yeah.
Well, less like a Mandingo. I'm saying, but like a small, like the size of this beer bottle.
Oh, so you're talking genetically engineered tiny people?
Yeah, and he's like, I'm going to mess you up. And then you have to mess him up.
He's
like
really tiny. You would think, right?
I think robots, yes. Genetically engineered people, no.
What if they didn't speak English? Do you think you'd be more okay messing them up?
Still just slavery.
I mean, it depends if those little things have souls. That's always the question it comes down to, right?
We can't answer that right now.
See? That's where it always goes down
to. Don't worry. We programmed this clone without a soul. Yeah. So it's all
noted. If it was a rat that was shaped like Randy Man Savage and about 3 feet tall, would you wrestle it?
Yeah.
Would you wrestle it for fun? Would you buy it?
Yeah.
Yeah? I think we got an answer.
I'm sorry. I was too Take horrified by what you just said.
I mean, that'd be scary.
Did you suggest that a company someday is going to sell a genetically engineered rat creature that is 3 feet tall, but it has the shape of the dearly departed Macho Man Randy Savage?
Yes.
So when you're not wrestling, is it just running around your apartment being like, yo, brother, I need to get into some rat pellets. Can you get the brand Randy Savage rat pellets?
I seem to be trained about the level about as smart as a rat can be trained, or maybe like a dog.
That's even more horrifying.
Where you know you'd be like here Randy, and he'd be like, oh yeah, and he'd like kind of like waddle over to you and be like, hey brother, you want to wrestle? I'm extra hungry, brother. And you're like, well, here Randy, have some Randy feed. And it's like pellets that are designed for Randy Man Savage that would all look like Slim Jim.
This is so fucked up.
Maybe you just feed your 3 foot Randy Man Savage.
Does it look like a person?
Yeah, it looks like fucking Randy Man Savage.
This is horrifying.
But you can tell it's a rat, though. Like, it still has to have, like, some rat
weird
features
like,
to keep it as creepy
like
as possible.
Like, rodentia genes going on?
No, I'd say it only speaks in English, but has limited phrases. And if, like, you said something that was outside of its 6 or 7 words, it'd be like, I don't understand that, brother.
I have
rat brain. But that's the only time it breaks character. And I like the idea of it doesn't have a water bottle it drinks out of for some reason. It has just, like, one of those giant guinea pig things that, like, the marble. In the still tubes, it still has to like drink from this strange still nipple while it snaps into Slim Jims all the time. Oh yeah, brother. Hey, you want to hang out? I'm extra lonely over here, brother.
This is a moral and ethical nightmare, what you have just described.
But what's amazing is the idea of we expand it outside of just Randy Man so you can get the whole kit.
Oh, God.
But then you get the clone of Cat Ladies, but for WrestleMania. So it's like another woman was found with 10 dead Randy Man Savages and 30 Hulk Hogans hiding in her bathroom.
Couldn't you just do this with like robots? If we're in a society that's so advanced that you can make hideous like golem 3 foot creature clone rat brain things, you think you could just make a robot and not make it so squeaky and weird?
But I think what it comes down to is that you know what did they say, like biology is like the next robotics or whatever. So yeah. It'll be eventually cheaper. to make clone 3 foot Randy Man Savage with rat brain in a few phrases than the robot.
Perhaps on the ledger, Logan, but what of the ledger of our souls? For the love of everything holy, what you've described is a nightmare.
I just love the idea of you. Every child has like a strange dormitory filled with 3 foot versions of their heroes from the 60s,
and they just battle.
But there's one standard 5 foot tall Andre the Giant.
But that's terrifying because now we're starting to get to normal person sized.
Because, well, 3 foot is normal person size for a small child.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'd be eye to eye with Hulk Hogan.
Okay, so you're going to make this even more nightmarish by suggesting that parents are going to buy their children a biological abomination, which is roughly the same size as the child, for the child to wrestle with.
But here's when it gets interesting. So it's one thing to buy a 3 foot Randy Man Savage abomination. What happens when the kid can also modify himself to get as buff as Randy Man Savage? So you have these three to five year olds really into WWE who shoot up with a Bane-like substance that makes them really buff.
I assume they just
have a pill. It's like, you know, it's kind of like instead of playing the Xbox, it's like, hey, let's get really buff and fight my Randy Man.
I would presume as long as there are any side effects to such things of any sorts, that those sorts of things will be kept away from minors, much in the same way many exotic and dangerous things are kept away from even adults through the prescription system.
I feel it's kind of like cell phone radiation, where it probably was really scary to like an 18th century primitive, but by the time we get to now, by primitive I mean like a pilgrim. Or anybody really from that era.
But right now, I'd say
nobody scares cell phone radiation. I let my kid play with an iPhone.
Yeah, but an iPhone can't turn your child into a hulking genetic abomination.
But you got to think forward. Like, step one is like, you want your kid to have certain features. And step two is like, hey, do you want your kid to just be like really ripped for a few hours?
Wait, hold on. There's a big hold the fuck on. Like, tap the brakes.
I was just going to say, if my dad had the opportunity to make me a genetic freak, you can turn it down, I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah,
but I think there's a big difference between being like, oh, well, I'm going to pick the genes of my child before they're born, or I'm going to get blue eyes, going to make sure they don't have an astigmatism like I do, versus saying like, oh, hey, Bobo, okay, well, here's your little injector vial. If you just swallow that, you're going to be a freaky deaky super strong boy for 6 hours. Yes, you will. You'll be able to smash a table with your emotional intelligence and maybe break mommy's leg.
It might not be an injection. It might be a kind of like
the injection is not the problem.
Might be like a subdermal patch where it's like if the kid grabs like his Randy Man Savage, maybe Randy Man Savage himself, like maybe the sweat that his body is slicked with actually infuses the kid and gets him as ripped as Randy Man Savage just by holding him.
You have done nothing but just verbally create nightmares for the last 20
and
minutes.
So what this creates is the Predator scene that we all know and love. Where Arnold with Dylan high fives, but like one of those like high fives that kind of like are arm wrestling, and they grab and then they arm wrestle midair, and then as Arnold slowly beats him, goes pushing too many pencils. That's what we're describing. But with your that is the imitation play. That's pressing the start button with your Randy Man Savage creature. So you go up to Randy Man Savage, you're like, yo, Randy, and he high fives you, but as he grabs your palm,
you have to flex.
You flex and he's actually pushing through your subdermal layers. This hormone that makes you as buff and hairy as Randy Man.
Okay. I just want to step in and just verbally describe this nightmare scenario from an objective standpoint so that you can fully grasp what you've just described.
Sure.
I'm a parent. I walk in to my kid's playroom, and what I see is a 3 foot tall biological copy of a 70 year dead pro wrestler. And my 7-year-old, who has now been infused with a biological cocktail to my 7-year-old, mind you, who has the emotional functionality of a 7-year-old, and also this freak clone thing, has a rat brain, who you specifically said has a limited number of phrases, let alone emotional intelligence. And I walk in, and this rat brain clone thing is fighting with my now hulked out emotional child, literal child, as they wrestle in a stew of artificial hormones and biological steroids, and my reaction is, oh God, I remember when I was that age.
But here's the thing. You're saying emotionally child. While we're at it, why don't we just go Flowers for Algernon with this bitch? And when you get infused, the kid also becomes a super genius. And when he's all wiped out, in walks, of course, our 3 foot Abraham Lincoln.
Yep.
And they discuss
study time
the Gettysburg Address in depth.
What the
after
fuck?
A great workout.
Yep.
Study time.
I mean, study time. I'm burnt out.
It's like homeschooling.
I appreciate.
I think we're describing the school of the future.
That's pro wrestling and school.
PE, and then you talk to your three foot doppelgangers from the distant past.
That's what happens. 2050, pro wrestling fuses with the school system.
Oh my God, Logan, I would like to applaud you for the last 30 minutes, which has been a truly terrifying cyclone. Like, there are very few people that can convince me that I don't want to live in the deep future, but you, sir, right now, just now, painted a picture of a world so alien and terrifying to me that I'm 50% not interested in being there, but only 50%.
Well, I just like the idea of, you know, here's the thing. When you're a kid, everybody's bigger than you. You don't understand the world. You're really trying to figure out how great would it be if you go, Dad, what was it like so-and-so years ago? And he's like, well, why don't you ask? So, like, Dad, what was the year 200 like? Well, I just saw the Roman so-and-so. And he's like, why didn't you ask Julius Caesar? And here comes Julius Caesar out of the hole in the wall, this three-foot hole in the wall, behind which is just placental stem
plasma
cells. And sure enough, he with his little phone or Google Glass or whatever says, Julius Caesar, generate. And then we rapidly generate Julius Caesar, who comes out kind of still covered in a shiny placental fluid. And like,
and he kind of coughs up and
he's
pill.
Like, hello, Timothy. And then when he shakes the hand, the kid, of course, becomes hyper intelligent.
What?
Yes.
Why? Why do we have to create horrible clones out of some sort of wall womb? Because first of all, if it's a genuine copy of Julius Caesar, you have just created a 45-year-old Iron Age Latin tribesman who will go like, Viridium est muta, and then slaughter you in an orgy of terror and violence. So really, all it's going to repeat is whatever you've loaded into its brain. So why don't we remove all the unspeakable biological horror and just have an actor do it?
In all these cases, I assume they still have rat brain. So it's still Julius Caesar comes out with rat brain. But if there's ever
trainable.
A point, and here's the thing, I'm going to go back on my earlier statement where he said, I don't know that because I'm a rat. Instead, here's what will happen. Julius Caesar, if he says that, why don't you join me? And he holds out his hand to the kid and he guides him back into the placental womb.
Yes.
Where the kid mind melds with the placental womb and experiences a Matrix-esque cave of
wonder,
emotion and senses and wonder. And I think we got our school of the future. It'll just be all these cavities throughout society. And if you're ever cute, you're like, it's kind of like going down the rabbit hole, if you will.
Experience trails.
And like, it's like, hey, a new experience trail opened up. And maybe just because it is a fluid, it kind of just looks kind of like in a Videodrome, where it's just kind of a breathing vein covered donut hole, if you will, that you, and maybe it's really tight, so you have to squeeze through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
Holy
we got a future.
Shit.
Here.
That's how it's done.
This is the darkest and strangest episode to date. I'm going to just put it out there.
Yeah. No, like the idea.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then there's like public schools, which are just a ton of a wall of these orifices.
It's like the bad ones.
Yeah. And every day at the beginning of the school day, you go, hi-ho! And then out of each orifice comes a different historical figure or entertainment figure for that matter.
Yep.
And they all try to lure you into their orifice.
Well,
kind of like that Indian store
in
New York.
Not to throw a monkey wrench in this whole plan, but if a public school is just a giant wall of bio orifices that horrible doppelgangers come out of, why would you need the doppelganger if it can't just be like, kid, you know what you do when you go to school? You go in the orifice. Because how is that any different? Like, I don't want to go to school. You get on the bus, you go to school.
Well,
the orifice is like, you go to school, you get in the orifice.
I wanted to be proactive. It's not about you have to go in that orifice. You come out and they're all luring you in. You're just like, would you like to learn about medieval times?
You're going
to
be one of those goddamn future hippies that can't just teach their kid math in a bio orifice and do standard bio orifice testing. Dude. You'd be like, no, every kid bio orifices differently and they have to bio orifice in their own speed.
Absolutely. And thanks
to the bio orifice standard test. Testing neglects kids that learn through bio-orifice mind melding.
I don't think there'll be standard testing. I think that it'll be emergent testing while you're in the bio-orifice, and if a kid fails enough times, the orifice just doesn't let him back out again. He just
Logan,
gets subsumed.
Yeah, I think it'll finally
orifice.
Be that you
okay.
just can't
okay.
handle it.
He becomes orifice food for the other orifices.
Do they use his genetic material to reconstitute future, you know, Julius Caesars to lure people in?
They probably at least harvest his stem cells, or her for that matter.
That
makes sense and is horrifying.
So it's really like, I guess this is like a carnivorous plant sphincter that can spray out historical figures at 3 foot scale.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't know. I liked hearing about these.
I think we've ended on a really strong note.
I would have gotten a strongly terrifying note.
A wall wound popping out in Abe Lincoln.
Somewhere Clive Barker is curled up in a fetal position going, why do I listen to podcasts and rocking back and forth?
Meat train.
I just really like the idea of using these 3 foot rat-brained human creatures.
Right.
To infuse our children with different hormones to get them amped up, whether it's through physical strength or brain strength.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
I mean, if I want my kid having like a crazy adrenaline rage, like I want him to have it given to him by a rat-brained macho man.
Yeah.
You know.
So if you guys could each have one rat-brained, 3 foot super creature, who would you choose? I guess it's kind of an equivalent of the like you can invite one historical figure to dinner sort of thing.
Ultimate Warrior.
Ultimate Warrior.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
The Warrior.
How about you? How about you, Ben?
Tiny Bob Dylan.
Even though he has a rat brain?
Yeah, totally.
So you and Bob are just going to shake into that he gets
a certain amount of statements.
That sounds incredible.
So like, but like when, for me, when the Bob Dylan one does it, since we're talking about there would be multiple versions of these things, they'd be like, oh, we're going to go down to the docks, Ben, and we're going to see how the old lady play. And then he'd put his hand out in the Arnold Schwarzenegger high five thing, and then we'd clap hands, and then the biohormones, rather than turning me into a hulking wrestling machine, I would start to go, yes, Bob, we're going to go rhyme along the rainbow, and then we'd start singing folk music
together. I assume it would infuse you with musical proficiency on the part with Beethoven.
Like a rolling poetic wordsmithery, you know, that can describe, that can capture the ennui of my age in appropriately poetic terminology.
I like the idea that these 3 foot rat clones, for lack of a better term, double as sort of like Nicorette patches for the soul.
Oh my God, what a nightmare. This whole thing is a nightmare.
And on that note, I'm kind of excited about the future, you guys.
I'm so scared.
So thank you.
I can't wait.
Thank you, Benji.
Yeah, Benji, thank you so much.
Thanks, dudes, for the
beer. And here's to the fucking future, you guys.
To the fucking future.
Till next time.
Till next time.
Dude, I got the double clink.